Oh, wow. I'm out of shit. But anyway, he came out here a few days ago and came to see the property, and we spent a couple hours here. We went to Fiends and Greens. Remember that?
I do.
And we stayed till they closed. So, and there was a lady with one of her grandkids somewhere. And she finally said, "Which one of y'all is the preacher?" And I said, "He is." I said, and they said, "Hey, thank you. That boy, look at this. Look here, this boy's, oh, his hands are empty. He just wants to be with his grandpa." So anyway, she said, "Which one of y'all the preacher?" I said, "Well, I am." She said, "What kind of preacher are you?" I said, "Hellfire and brimstone." Brother Keith's got something to say for us, and we'll move right along, Brother Kevin, to come preach. And God bless you. It's good to have you with us. And see this sign right here. There it is. There he is.
Christian Coalition.
Christian Coalition.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. It's great to be here with all of you yesterday. I won't forget greens and beans. That was a good meal. And it's an honor to be part of all of what you're all working on here, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I wanted to just share a few words about the Christian Coalition for those of you. I imagine a lot of you have heard of us over the years. We've been around for over 30 years, but I think over those years, a little bit has been lost in translation about what it is that we do. And if you go back to the original Christian Coalition, Pat Robertson started it when he was running for president. He recruited a state chairman in every state. They were supposed to recruit a county chairman in every county. The county chairman was supposed to find a church liaison in every church. And they created this network. And his hope was that that would lead to him winning the election for presidency. It didn't work out that way, by God's grace, but it did lead to forming a nonprofit organization to keep that network of people together. And the reason that was started is if you think about every interest group that we have, think about the farmers. When there's something going on in the country, in the state, in the community that affects them, they pull together as their local farm bureau, right? And they represent their interests. They look out for the things that they care about. Same thing for the lawyers. They've got the bar association that looks out for them. The doctors have the medical associations. Everybody's got these associations, these groups that look out for the interests. But who looks out for the interests of the believer? Not just particularly, amongst our denominations and churches, we have synods and church councils and things like that that kind of represent us. But at the government level, when there are laws and ordinances being passed that impact the church, who's that voice? Who's going and saying, "Hang on a second. We're parents, and we have a right to say what our kids learn in school. We're parents. We have a right to decide what you tell our kids about gender and all of this stuff." There's so much going on today that is an attack on the church, an attack on our faith, attack on our Christian values. And there's a voice lacking because as churches, we're really good at splitting and splintering and splitting and splintering and splitting and splintering. And we have a lot more that unites us than that divides us. And so, to that end, I think it's important that we recognize that while we have certain doctrinal differences that exist between denominations, there are a lot of values that we share. And the Christian Coalition's goal is and always has been to be that voice, to go to the Capitol. When the doctors all show up in their scrubs and they visit the legislators and say, "Hey, you can't pass this. This is not going to be good for us." We need to do the same thing. We need to take buses down to Montgomery and show up and say, "Hang on a second, you're going to vote on what?
Bye.
In my name? I don't think so." Right? And they have to see us and they have to hear us and they have to know that you're united. And so our goal is really to reinvigorate our chapters around the state of Alabama. We've had a good chairman for a number of years, and a guy named Randy Brinson. He's a doctor down in Montgomery area. He's retiring from his medical practice, and we're in the process of putting in a new chairman. But we have to get the younger generation involved too. My parents and my grandparents were all very involved in the Christian Coalition. But when you look at those who are in their 20s and 30s and 40s today, far less likely to be engaged in that kind of work. And we need to win those folks back to being engaged and involved, or we're going to lose our voice and our values to this overreaching government. So we'll be looking to reinvigorate a chapter right here in your county. If the Lord's laying it on your heart, consider being the chairman of a chapter and lead monthly meetings. By all means, reach out to me. Pastor Butler has my contact information. I'm happy to share it with anyone. I've got cards with me after the service. If you know somebody who might be good at hosting a monthly meeting, it's very simple. You just get together. You maybe invite somebody like Rep Gidley, who was here yesterday, or Senator Jones to come and tell you about things that are going on. Invite your local mayors. Invite the local pregnancy center to come and speak and share with you. The idea is just to every month be exposing folks to what's going on in ways that they can plug in. And then we'll be hosting trips to Montgomery. We'll start doing probably at least once a year a trip down to Montgomery when the legislature is in session. We'll sponsor buses. There'll be a bus maybe in Gadsden or somewhere like that. Everybody who wants to come shows up at a certain time of the morning. We'll take a trip down. So I would encourage you to stay engaged, stay involved, and continue with the good work you did yesterday in reaching out to the community and helping people become educated on what's going on. And it's just been a huge honor. And I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge, I think today is October 6th. Tomorrow is 1 year since the horrible attacks on Israel. And I was in Israel in 2016. I met with the Israeli and the Palestinian peace negotiators. We sat down at a table and talked with them. And the Palestinian peace negotiator said, it's our fault that there's not peace here. That was the Palestinian negotiator, not the Israelis. They said, it's our fault. We're not really invested in peace. Our government's not really invested in peace. It's to our advantage to keep this way. And now we've seen how that's escalated. And I praise God that Israel's been kept quite safe so far since that day as they've continued to fight this war. But there's a lot to come. And we just pray for God's continued pursuit. Thank you, Pastor Butler, for the opportunity to say a few words. And it's been great going through.
Good man right there. You friends will be praying for Keith and the lady that the lady that was sitting with Michelle Holmes that talked to us over the phone. She wasn't able to be here, but we've got all these folks. We got some sample ballots, and we may be able to get some information on the candidates. We're working on that. If you need a sample ballot, this is for Edwall County. The park, somebody's sent the park there on the Edwall County. Yep, I have them back there if you need a sample on County, of course, for the national too. So let's all stand, and we certainly appreciate everybody being here, and we don't take that for granted. And Kevin brought his mom with him. I'm telling you, was Kevin I ain't gonna ask you. He's a good boy. I'm not gonna. I wouldn't embarrass his mother, but Kevin, I'm gonna tell you, me and him, we have fun. Come on, brother Kevin. He's gonna bring the word of the Lord. Y'all pray for our dear friend Kevin Whaley. And this afternoon, we need to be promptly here at 2:30, and we need the men to help us. We need some moving around stuff after the service. If you've got time, stick around. We'll give you something to eat. It could be a pork sandwich. It could be. God bless you, my friend. Love you, man. There's some water right there.
Hey, man, I appreciate the opportunity to be in the house of God. If you got your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Remain standing for the reading and reverence of God's Word. Start reading in verse number 1. Hebrews 12, Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray. Dear my Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God this morning. God, I thank you for Brother Butler, Lord. I thank you for these people. God, got a lot of dear friends here, Lord, for many years, and God, sure do thank you for that. God, thank you, Lord, for all their hard work and, God, their willingness to be able to make a difference in this time and this day. God, I just pray, Lord, you bless them, you help them, and God, you get all the glory. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help this message. God, that you forgive me where I failed you. God, that you'd take it in such a way that be a help and be a blessing and encourage them to move forward. We sure do thank you for it. In Jesus' most precious heaven name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to preach aloud this morning on this thought, running well. Running well. And God got on my mind this morning. We see the Bible said in Hebrews 12, it said the race that is set before us at the last of verse number 1. If I'm going to run a race, I want to be able to run that race well and run it under the glory of God. So I want to encourage you today, as God gives a few things to run this race well. Now the Bible said, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now the first thing we'll make mention of is follow the example that's been set before you. Now, as you come into chapter number 12, you find there, the Bible said that we've been compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Now, what's it talking about? It's talking about the chapter, the great heroes of faith in chapter number 11. We ought to be able to take some examples from them that the race has been won. I just want to read you a couple of things at verse 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail that they tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jethro, of David, also of Samuel, and other prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness, were made strong, waxed vigilant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. I thank God for that. You see the great and many, many mighty words there. Hey, don't let the word alien bother you. It ain't talking about aliens. But it's talking about those that run out of our nations. I thank God for the text that has been taken for us. Hey, sometimes we hope it's still.
you first got to operate by faith. Ain't it amazing the things that you see God do? Hey, you look at Enoch, he just walked with the Lord. God translated. Hey, I like that. That helps me. Anybody ever told you that? Now you're too heavenly minded. Which ain't earthly good enough. And you know what? He got so heavenly minded. He just, God just took me. Hey, that's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. And it's life. And it's growth in the Lord. Thank God. Race well. Second thing, what's your Bible? Bible said here, he said, let us lay aside every weight. Well, now I look over in 1 Peter 5. Let me, and said this. It said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Can I say this? I'm not being disrespectful. But you can't run a race overweight. Hey, you look at me. It'd be hard for me to run a marathon. All right, you cannot run a race overweight. Now, you know, when we look at it, you see a comma, and then it talks about the sin that easily besets us. So I want to deal with that weight. If you're going to run well, you got to get some weight off. You know, you got to get some weight off. Now, what's the biblical way to get weight off? Hey, y'all look at me like that. Hey, this ain't no keto diet. Hey, what's a biblical way to get weight off? First thing I do, you got to humble yourself. The Bible says humble yourselves. Hey, but the first thing you got to do is you got to realize you got a problem. You got to realize that you need some help. Hey. Hey, there ain't nobody in here that's ever went on a diet until they first felt like that they was overweight. Until they first felt like they needed some help. But you know what? In this life, a lot of times, spiritually, hey, I get overweight. I let things weigh me down. I let problems of life. I ain't got no business worrying about you. Hey, you just hold me back. Hey, it may be an altercation with a preacher. Hey, you know what? Hey, that's happened before. In this big old mountain, it's got me in trouble. I've had to go back and apologize. Hey, I'm sorry I'm spitting on you. But I have to go back and apologize. Hey, you see, the old-timers know. That's why they got away from the middle aisle. Except Brother Jeff. I've spit on his head for years. Hey, I'm just saying now that you've got to realize that there's a need to get the weight off. Say, Lord, I realize I can't make this on my own. Ain't it amazing how we try to figure things out? We try to work them out. You know what I found, Pastor? I'll kick people. I'll drag people. I'll beg people. I'll plead with people. And you can't make people do anything. You just can't do it. Not that way, right? Hey, I wonder why so-and-so won't get right. I'm a children's doing this. My daddy and my mother and my brothers and my sister. When we carry that weight around, then we let it bog us down. What we think about so-and-so said this about us. Hey, 20 years ago. Can I say I hate Facebook? You know why? I hate social media altogether. You know why? Because ain't nobody telling the truth. Hey, they all lie. Hey, and make you look at their life and seem like that everything is perfect. Can I let you know a little secret? Hey, ain't nobody's life perfect. Ain't nobody got it figured out. Hey, everybody's got problems. You know why our generation deals with depression and discouragement and suicide and divorce ain't more than they ever have before? Because they look at everybody else's life and it looks so grand and it looks so great. Looks like ain't got no issue and it causes them to get unsatisfied. God help us. Hey, we got to realize life's tough. Hey, we got to realize we get our feelings hurt. Hey, we got to realize that we can't make it on our own. Hey, we got to realize our need for a Savior. Are we going to carry this weight around with us time and time again? Now, we've got to humble ourselves. Boy, I'll be honest with you. And Brother Butler's old. He's seen a lot of things. Hey, but in my short time, I've never seen such a generation that's so full of themselves, or such a generation that's so sensitive. I'm talking about you hurt their feelings. Hey, they wouldn't raise like I was hollered at, and then I was beat down. Hey, was any of you raised like him? Hey, man, no. Hey, we know we got some country people in the house. Just saying now. Hey, I wouldn't. Hey, ever today you say one cross word to them and they want to go try to mom. Or they want to write about you on the computer. Hey, I'm just saying if there's ever been a day that you got to humble yourself, today is that day. You know why we ain't seeing real revival like we once did? And I hate saying that, because I believe it's just as possible today as it's ever been. Hey, you know why we ain't seeing our churches do what they once done? Because we are no longer humbling ourselves. I'm saying, I don't want them to see me go to the altar and to think I got a problem. I don't want them to know anything about my life. Think that I've got it all figured out and all out. It's good to just humble ourselves and say, I realize that I am not in control. Watch your Bible go a little further. The Bible said this. He said, I just want to mention this, that he may exalt you in due time. Up now, hey, let God do the exalt. You know why so many people toot their own horn? They're scared to go unto them. Hey, I'm just saying now. Let God do the exalting. Now, but watch your Bible. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know what to help you run this race well? It's to know there's a God in heaven that cares about you. And that'll help you run this race well. He is concerned about your race. He is concerned about your life. Hey, anybody in here ever felt lonely? Hey, anybody here ever felt like that ain't nobody got it as hard as they do? Ain't nobody dealt the issues that they've dealt with? Ain't everybody else's life seemed so much better? Ain't it amazing no matter what church you're in? Hey, what family you grew up in? Hey, what job you got? How much money you make or don't make? Ain't it amazing that the grass is always greener on the other side? Hey, we always feel so lonely. We always feel like nobody cares. Hey, we're always feeling sorry for ourselves. And I just want to let you in. That there's a God in heaven that cares. Hey, what? He gave his life for you. He died for you. Why? Because he cares. Why is that sweet and Holy Ghost deal with your heart when you do wrong? Why does he convict you? Why does he comfort you? Because he cares. You know, I know it's funny, but you know why? I was hollered at and why I was wore out and why I got in trouble? It's because I had a mom and dad that cared about me. I had a mom and dad that didn't want me to be rebellious. I had a mom and daddy that didn't want me to be a hindrance to society. Yeah. And you know why that's important? Why the Bible says in Proverbs, talking about be times, meaning quickly, because you teach them at a young age not to be rebellious and be sensitive for leadership. Therefore, when God deals with the heart, they won't be rebellious against God. That they'll be sensitive against the Lord. Well, I want to be sensitive. You know, God tell me to go somewhere, I want to go. He tell me to do something, I want to do it. I ain't saying I always do. Hey, I probably argue with him much of the time. I just want to make sure it's him and not me. Hey, I want to be sensitive to the things of the Lord. I don't want to be a rebellious Christian. I don't want to look back when I get to be an older man now and think about the things that I could have done if I'd just been sensitive to the Lord and realize he cared about me. And I don't want to get old and feel like I can't do nothing anymore. If you're breathing, you got breath in your lungs. If you got ability, I'm telling you today, you're still running your race. And I want to encourage you to run it well. You know, many people give up right at the finish line. You know, I don't like to talk about this much because it's a God of today. But I played football. Got a scholarship in college, played ball. And you know what I found? Let me just say this. In the middle of it, I got saved and I come home and got called to preach and dropped scholarship. But what I'm saying, there's many ball games that I played in that was won in the last few minutes of the ball game. There's games I played in that was won in the last few seconds of the ball game. Now, what I'm preaching to you this morning, hey, sometimes when we get older, we may get complacent. Hey, I've had many older people say, preacher, hey, what can I do now? Let me know, I'm not to that point yet. But I think about that many times. You do not want to fail the final. You want to win the race. You don't want to run good your entire life and give it up right at the finishing line. Find something that you can do and do it for the glory of God. Say, cast it all your cares upon him. Be vigilant. It said, be sober. You know, let me just say this, we move on. That simply means get after it. Do the best you can. Give it all you got. Hey, can I encourage today, church, just give it all you got. I heard Brother Samuel Allen preach a revival for us right before he passed. And this statement he said, it stuck with me all these years. He said, I may not be the best, but I'm doing my best. And you think about that. All them years he preached, all them great meetings. You know, he is sober-minded enough to say, I may not be the best, but I'm going to give it my best. Hey, that's what we need to do, church. Hey, we may not be the best, but we absolutely need to give it our best. Hey, I'm talking about be vigilant. Just get after it. Give it all you got. Be sober-minded. That means that. Think about thoughts of gravity. You know, can I say this? You say, well, you ought not be political in the pulpit. Well, I say a real Christian, I don't believe it'd be a Democrat. Hey, they're not going to kill them babies. Hey, you think about that socialism and that Marxism and that communism and those things. You know what? They're not being sober-minded anymore. And I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm just being honest. You know what I vote for? I vote for my Christian values. Hey, that's what I vote for, right? Like my Christian values. Hey, and anything else. I don't care. Anything else will get you in a mess. Be sober-minded. Be sober in your thinking and in your judgment making. You know, this mind can get us in a lot of trouble. What do you mean, preacher, being sober-minded? Don't make decisions in the midst of your emotions. I've seen so many people mess up making decisions when they are emotionally affected. I don't care if it's real happy. I don't care if it's real sad. No, I don't care. no matter across the spectrum, if you are not in a consistent mindset, be careful on the decisions you make, because it'll cause you to mess up. If you're going to run that race well, you got to have these emotions under control. Can I say we're all emotional? It may surprise you, but I get angry. That old country fella just come up to me. That old linebacker come up to me. Sometimes I wish I could just tackle some church members. Not do no good, but make me feel better. Hey, I'm just saying, you gotta get those things under control. Sometimes I get so hurt. You pour your life into somebody and it just feels like it rip your heart out. You just get so hurt, and you know what I do? Sometimes I have me a pity party. Hey, y'all ain't never had one of those, have you? I'm just saying, to run this race well, you've got to have emotions under control. You've got to be sober-minded. You got to get after it. And then you got to be sober-minded. Watch your Bible. We're going to go a little further. I'm going to close shortly. I know y'all was all up late last night. I preach in the nursing home every Sunday. I'm used to folks snoring and going to sleep. I'm talking about, I preach with everything I got. Some of them go sound asleep. Watch your Bible. It said that, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race which is set for us. Few things I want to give you this. The sin that so easily besets us. What beset me might not beset you, but what beset you may not beset me. What do you mean, preacher? To run this race well, you got to be honest with yourself. You know what your problem is in this life. Just like I know the things I got to stay away from, I know the things I've got to be careful with. These things that I do in my personal walk in Christianity that I don't expect everybody else to do, but I want to be close to the Lord. There's things that I try to keep out of our lives and keep away, because I don't want to be a stumbling block. And I don't want to stumble. I had this mentality years ago. I want to draw a line. And I want to step back from it. And I want to live my life right here. And most of us live life right here on the edge. And if we just stumble a little bit, we fall off. That's the problem. You've got to step back. You've got to recognize yourself. You've got to realize what you are, that you ain't nothing. Hey, every individual in here was born of woman. I don't care what the government tried to say. Hey, you was born of woman, and you're full of trouble. Hey, you are a sinner. And you know what? Hey, you've got to watch yourself. You got to keep the things away from you that have bothered you. You got a problem with alcohol, you stay away from alcohol. You got a problem with drugs, you stay away from drugs. You got a problem with women, you stay away from women. You got a problem with men, you stay away from men. Now, hey, you say, preacher, you ought not be that plain. Now, hey, we need to be plain in this day. We've lost generations because we're not plain anymore. Hey, whatever sin easily besets you, you better watch out. What's that mean? If you beset, you can't run well. Why? Because you get off course. You know, you think about leprosy, one of the most recognizable types of sin in the Bible. It always starts small, and it grows. It gets bigger and bigger. You know, at first with leprosy, you probably keep it covered up. Hey, but it'll get to a point you can't keep it covered anymore. You know, that's what goes on in a lot of our lives. Hey, that sin that nobody knows about, that may be, seems small, we keep it covered up time and time again. And we put on a good front in front of people time and time again. But before we know it, it gets to showing and it besets us in our race. Oh, yeah. So I want to run well. I don't want to get off direction. You know, I like to build. You know, a partner, and when you're putting up a wall, a lot of times we'll pop a chalk line and we'll keep it on that line. You know why? Because if you get it off just a little bit on one side, it'll be off several inches on the other side. Has any of you ever tried to put metal on a building that was not square? and you watch that metal walk all the way down through there, and it looks awful. I'm afraid that's how we live most of our lives. We've got off somewhere way back there. We don't want to humble ourselves. Be vigilant, be sober-minded, and get right with God. We don't want to do that, and it causes us to be beset. It causes us to get off course. It causes us to change directions. You know, any of you that's ever spending any amount of time, especially some of you with these gray hairs, there's many people that see, you know what blows my mind? I've seen young ladies dye their hair gray. Now, this world today just confuses me. Hey, I'm just saying, but you've seen many people start out in this thing, but ain't here right now. I bet you've seen many in this church start out on fire for God, but ain't sitting in this building this morning. Hey, whatever is causing you to get off track, can I encourage you, church, to get it right with God? Whatever it is. Then the Bible says run this race. Talks about patience. You study the book of James. It says let patience have a perfect work. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not a very patient person. So I struggled with that a long time. I just, Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean let patience have a perfect work? Simply like I've done preached about some. Got ahead of myself. But there's issues that you just absolutely cannot solve. You ever had a loved one that's had cancer? It'll worry you half to death. But there ain't nothing in the world you can do about it. You got to trust the Lord. There's problems and there's storms in this life, things going on that we have absolutely no control over. You ever had a loved one pass away and you feel like it's unfair, that it just wasn't the right time? Hey, have you ever been trying to have a child and then you see someone out of wedlock have a child and it bother you and you wonder, well, why? That just don't seem right. Have you ever had anybody say, well, preacher, why does all this hard stuff happen? Why is there people killed? And why is there people raped? And why does God let those kind of things happen? You ever had anybody ever ask you that? You know what I say? God didn't do it. God created everything perfect in the garden. Mankind fell in the garden. It's not God's fault. It's mankind's fault. But you know what that same God done? He clothed us. He covered us. Hey, He comforted us. Hey, He's made a way that we be saved and born again. And that's what it's speaking about. Let patience have her perfect work. Hey, that if you look back, there's never been a dark storm in your life that the sun ain't come out the next day. Hey, and you look back at those times when you had to wait on the Lord and you've seen God come through time and time again. You know, that'll help you grow. I can look back at past encounters and see where God delivered me, delivered my family. I dealt with problems in my life and in church members' lives. And I can look back at it today and know that He is God enough to do it then, that He's God enough to do it again. Hallelujah. Hey, you think about that, that'll help you. If He's God enough to do it then, ain't it amazing how we live life in the past? I don't want to be one of them people. I want to live life in the present. And if He is able to do it then, He's able to do it again. And I want to look for it, and I want to expect it under the glory of God. Now, hey, you can't run a race looking back. You can't run a race looking back. If I was trying to get one of you up here and tell you to run as hard as you can, look in that direction, and stop before you hit the door, you think you'd be able to do it? Hey, you know, we can't run a race in this life looking in the opposite direction. And ain't it amazing the things of our past that we that affect us and keep us from moving forward? Boy, I'm just be honest with you. I've had people tell me, say, preacher, you don't know how I was raised. I believe you don't know how I was raised. You think about those same preacher. You don't know what I've been through. You know what I find? Well, you don't know what I've been through. I'm not being arrogant or smart. I hope it's not coming that way. I don't like arrogance. But what I'm saying is, you look across a congregation of people, it would shock you the thing that an individual sitting in this field has been through that they've never even mentioned to you. I'm talking about it would shake you to the core, the things pastoring and traveling and preaching that I've heard and been told and been asked to pray about. People has problems. We need to be encouraging on purpose. Now watch your Bible. We're going to close right here. This helps me. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and it sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I like that the Bible said the author and the finisher of our race. You know, one that encouraged me so much, you know, simple things like this helped me. He was there at the beginning, at the start, and he'll be there at the finish. The author and the finisher of our faith. Boy, he knows when you started your race. 19 years old, I got born again, saved, lost in the blood of the Lamb. Bible teaches me I'm seated in heavenly places. I still don't understand that, but I believe it. And you know what? He was there. And when I lay this old vessel down, he'll be there. And you know, all throughout eternity, he's going to be there. Boy, I'm glad that he is the author and the finisher of my faith. Hey, you know, simply say it's going to close. He's born of a virgin, Matthew 1:18. Ain't nobody been born like him. Ain't nobody ever lived like him. Lived 33 and a half years sinless. Laid his life down willingly. Ain't nobody ever suffered like him. Ain't nobody ever died like him. And praise God, ain't nobody ever resurrected like him.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what he done? He sat down on the right hand of God. Hey, ain't nobody ever ascended up like him. And he made a perpetuation, past, present, and future. Made a perpetuation. That you know what that means? Not atonement, perpetuate past, present, and future for my sin debt. Hey, that means it's paid for. I'm talking about completely. Hey, no matter who you are, what family come from, no matter if you're black, white, green, or purple, no matter if you're good-looking, bad-looking, bald-headed, gray-headed, hey, young, God died for everybody. God died for everybody. And God wants you to run your race well. You know, I've got to mention this. It said the race set before it. I've got to mention, I'm closing. It said the race that is set before it. It's what a lot of people struggle with. It's what I've struggled with. Sometimes we want to run somebody else's race. Your race is not going to be the same as Roger Butler's race. Your race is not going to be the same as Bubba Chick's race. You've got to run the race. Now, y'all be heading in the same direction, but you've got to run the race that God has set before you. You run that race. You do what you can. You give your best. And you stop looking at what everybody else is doing around you. And you run the race that God has designed you to run. And do it well under the glory of God. Dear my Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to preach today. God, I beg you, Lord, that you reach down and touch your people, that you get all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So please stand. If God's touched your heart, wherever it may be, would you come pray? Maybe some just want to come ask the Lord to help you run your race, Claire. Would you come?